Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay. Wait, I want to be upside down, right, too.
You click your arrow down where it says video at the bottom. There's an arrow up, video settings.
Okay.
And then in your screen, you top right, there's a little rotate thing of your screen where you see yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Look at this is now, weird.
The blood is rushing to our
That's
heads.
That's what I feel. I know. My dad looks like he's hanging.
He does, Greg. I don't think Greg somehow. You know what? I don't think Greg actually turned his video upside down.
I didn't.
I think Greg actually turned upside down. Yeah, That's what I think happened.
I'm standing on my head right
you
now.
You look like you're hanging.
You really do. Your hair is almost going.
I don't know why,
quality podcasting or whatever this is.
This is the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, Greg Cody.
Bum chicken bum bum.
If you can't tell, me and my dad are doing this podcast together right now.
We are leaning into the mic.
Have you guys ever seen the movie with Matt Damon and the guy where the movie where he's attached to another guy? No. I think it's called Stuck on You.
No, I haven't seen this.
It's a movie about brothers who live their life like attached at the hip.
Wow.
So they both have all the extremities and they just have to live life attached.
Oh, as conjoined twins.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds like the worst movie ever made.
No, it's actually pretty good.
Wow. Okay.
But anyways, we're all here. Right. Our family is being loud. We have a banner episode for you guys today.
It is a banner episode. We have a big banner up front. We used to have
a banner.
Plus, I always have to say. That's right. Mm-hmm. I always have to say Pulitzer Prize winning humorist Dave Barry, because it gives him credentials. You know, it makes him seem like big and important. And he is.
My arch nemesis, Dave
Barry. Oh, my God. My favorite part of this episode. And you're going to hear this interview in a minute. Dave Barry gets on Christopher for his tendency to interrupt, which he does. He's terrible.
What are you
about
talking
that.
About?
Yeah, you're terrible about that. And I usually let it slide. Dave Barry lets you have it.
Yeah.
And it's my favorite part of the interview.
Yeah.
Oh, that is our most commented thing on in our reviews is Chris interrupting.
Oh, damn.
And I will say, what they don't comment enough on is that it's gotten tremendously better.
Yeah.
Both on your part and I look out for you, you know.
Yeah.
But that is our most commented thing. But Dave hits you with one, man.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. And you know, Dave's on because he has an annual holiday gift guide, which is legendary. I love how
the way this interview goes is you hype this up like that's the reason he's coming on. And he comes on. And he's like, do we have to talk about
that?
Yeah,
I know. Yeah.
And I'm like, Dad, do you not tell people why? Like,
no.
He's like, you sure you guys want to talk about that? You don't have to.
I know, but we do, and it's fun because they're horrible gifts. But we also talked to him about the World Cup a little bit and other fun stuff.
Well, we talked to him before the World Cup. After the interview, we talked to him before that World Cup final. After that, we're going to get into this game because holy God, was it a good game.
OMG.
Like, you're not going to hear any reaction in the interview because the interview was before the final, but me and my dad watched that game, and good God, was it good.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, it was beyond good. It was, people are, you know, everybody's recency bias, but people are talking about that as if it is the greatest World Cup final.
And we'll talk about it after Dave Barry. I think we should just get right into it. We spend a lot of time with him. Let's do it.
Enjoy it. Here's DB.
My enemy.
Hi, guys.
How you doing, Dave?
I'm good, and you?
We're well. Dave, before we get started, I obviously want to talk to you mostly about the holiday gift guide.
You don't have to talk about the holiday gift guide. I barely remember the holiday gift guide. Honestly, I'll talk about anything you want is my point.
Okay. Yeah, excellent. But if there's anything
I will even talk about sports. Because wow. I know about sports. What do you think I know about? Yes.
Well, you're married to a sports writer. I mean, you
exactly you're... cornerbacks. Okay. I know that shit. You know that shit. Vertical leap.
What else?
Tua Tagovailoa, you know, can he play in the cold? Are we the cold? Is it going to handle the cold? I don't know.
Will
two bad
snow?
Games. I don't know. I don't know. I could talk about all that shit though.
That's the question of the week. Can he play in the snow?
I have takes on everything.
Well, we just started with that. So welcome to the podcast.
Okay.
As my phone rings in the background. Yeah. What a disorganized amateur podcast we are here.
Yeah. Go ahead. Ask me a sports question. And you know what? I just did an event. I did an event at the Miami Book Fair with Larry Zonka. I did. He has a book out called Head On.
Yes. Yep.
And I interviewed him. I read the book and I liked the book. It's really kind of a fun book.
Yeah,
and then and we got a stage at the Miami Book Fair. But the main thing is, Michelle and I hung out with him and his wife for like I don't know an hour and a half before.
Mm-hmm. How's that mustache doing?
It's looking, you know, not unchanged. And first of all, he still looks like he could run through a wall and no problem at all. And you know, and probably recently has run through a wall. But I always thought that he was this cranky guy. I don't know why I had that impression, you know, that he didn't tolerate media fools and all like that. But he was, first of all, really nice to everybody. And second, he talks a lot about CTE and the teammates he's you know, have had dementia and died. And he still seems pretty sharp. And he remembers like all these stories and he tells them really well. So it was the easiest. My gig was, you know, like I read his book and basically threw up softballs. Larry, talk about this, you know, and he just would go on and it was really funny. So I don't know why I'm telling you. Oh, yeah. I'm telling you all this because I know sports.
You know
Larry
sports.
Zonka, number 39, great fullback out of Syracuse.
That's right.
Also, do you want to hear some other people who went there? All right, I'll name some. Floyd Little is one. The great Jimmy Brown, you went there. Another fullback who went there.
Anybody from this century or no?
No, nobody. We don't even like Syracuse anymore, but they, you know, they were very good at this sport, football, for quite a while. And Larry Zonka was one of the good players there.
It's funny you mentioned Zonka because we had him on our podcast a month or so ago. And I, too, found him to be very likable, affable, friendly, jovial, all the stuff I didn't expect him to be. And I think the reason is that he's trying to sell a book.
he has to be nice. It's like, who is it? Was it Shannon Sharp? It was somebody like Shannon Sharp. It might have been him. Who, when he played, never talked to the media, hated the media. Yeah. And then he became the media. And suddenly he's this outgoing. I may be slandering or libeling the wrong person, but I think it was Shannon Sharp.
There's a bunch of athletes that criticize the media and now are making their way into it. Richard Sherman from the NFL comes to mind.
Oh, yeah. Whole different world when you're on the other side of it. I remember standing with Jimmy Cephalo. I hope this is not going to reflect badly on him, but too bad he's not here right now.
Yeah.
But I remember we were when the Marlins were making one of their World Series runs and I was writing columns and everybody was covering them. And I remember standing outside the locker room waiting to go in with all the other media and standing next to Jimmy Cephalo. And we're talking about how different players handle the press differently. And I'm extremely sensitive to that because my wife, like you, Greg, is a sports writer and, you know, you get to see athletes up close and it's often very not what the fans want it to be. But anyway, I remember Jimmy saying to me, I just hope that when I played, I wasn't as big an asshole as some of these guys, you know, because he's got to go in and kind of like, they don't remember Jimmy Cephalo.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And he's a great guy, smart guy, thoughtful guy. And if you're going to be a jerk to him, you're a jerk.
Well, another good example is Mark Clayton back in the day could be very surly, very difficult to deal with. I saw him a few weeks ago at a Dolphins 50th anniversary of the Perfect Season event. And I happened to be seated at the same table with him right next to him. Could not have been nicer. You know, could not have been nicer. And I guess time and trying to sell a book brings out the best in people.
People aren't just throwing money at you because of who you are anymore. And you're actually just trying to make a living or trying to get things. Yeah, it's a different world. And also, like, you get older. When you get older, you just get, I think, more mellow about stuff like that.
Yeah. Dave, I didn't realize until very recently, and I wanted to ask you about it, because you have another book coming out next summer.
I do.
Swamp Story.
It's called Swamp Story.
And what can you, without giving anything away, tease us a little bit, because everything you write is terrific. I've never read one of your children's books, but I've read your novels. Well, that's and
you're not really a child anymore, are you? So,
but I'm a former child.
You are an ex-child.
Yeah, so you would think that, that well, I might have gotten there.
Okay. We're going to live now, live on camera. You can see my crotch probably. But
okay.
Hold on. Problem. Hold on. Hold on.
He is wearing pants for the podcast audience.
Thank God. Yes.
That's right.
Okay. I now have. There it is.
Oh, wow.
That's the.
Look at this.
Advanced reader's copy that you send out ahead of time to try to get good reviews. But excellent. Yeah, it's a book.
So it's a Florida book. It's a Florida Gators football book.
Look at that. Look at that. There's a Gator right there. Yeah.
Nice.
And,
nice.
As you see, this book features a lot of features that you will not find in every book. As you'll see, it's rectangular, easy to wrap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sequentially numbered pages.
Okay.
Every
like
single
that.
Page has a number on it, one more than the number the page before. Wow. So you can keep track of exactly where you are in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
And it tells a story. That just gives you a quick, just a little feel for it.
Okay. Any pictures? Any drawings?
No. Just the alligator, Greg.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. Well,
I thought maybe Swamp Story was about every time I go to Disney in the summer.
Yeah. That's what happens basically to your armpits and your crotch is. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I hate to say this because I always get compared to Carl Hiaasen, the great Carl Hiaasen, but it's Hiaasen-esque. It's set in South Florida, and it's about a bunch of weird-ass people in the Everglades, which is one of the weirdest places in the world. People, I always find it astonishing. We live right next door here in Miami to this gigantic, much bigger than we are, swamp. And people think it's just like grass and stuff out there, but alligators and snakes. But there are a lot of really strange people, even as we speak, living out there. And there have been for like forever. There's always been weird, weird, strange people. And because things go on out there, nobody knows what goes on
right
out in the Everglades. Anyway, this is a story about some things that go on with some people out there.
You're honestly learning me to that right now. I didn't know people were living out in the Everglades.
More people than you think, and more people than want you to know. I mean, they're all, it's not just like swamp everywhere. There's roads and there's little islands and there's villages and stuff.
Oof.
And, you go down some of these roads. I took a rider. What really got me going on this was I did a book a few years ago about Florida. It's called Best State Ever. I won't get up and, I can reach that one. No. I have all my books right handy in case I ever need to show them on. Anyway, I wrote a book of best day.
So many.
And I one of the things I did was called I went to the Skunk Ape. I just went to interesting places in and around, not just Miami, but all over the state, which is really fun. I mean, this is just a strange state we live in.
Right.
And there's so much here. Anyway, one of the places I went to, and you may pass, is on Route 41 out in the middle of the Everglades. It's called the Skunk Ape Research Center. And the skunk ape is kind of like the abominable snowman or Bigfoot. In other words, it's not real. I mean, but there are people kind of invested in making you think it's real. And there are enough people who believe it's real. And there are enough like grainy videos of it. Because somehow, even though in 2022, we get really sharp video and pictures of every single thing in the world that ever happens, we never get a good one of a UFO or Bigfoot or Loch Ness. They're all those still appear to have all been taken in 1948 with iPhones. So anyway, so this place called the Skunk Ape Research Center, and this guy who owns it took me around. And he's what they call a gladesman. He grew up in the Everglades, and there are a bunch of these guys.
A gladesman.
That's what they call themselves. And like the real ones, they grew up there. Like if we ever have a nuclear war, these guys will be just fine. I mean, they don't need electricity. They don't need anything. They'll just go out there and they know where to catch the frogs and how to cook them. You know, I mean, they just like, ugh. They are. Well, the French, just for the record, the French do that also. But anyway,
that's a point.
He took me around and he's driving me around. He grew up out there in the swamp. And I didn't know there were all these roads and trails and stuff back there. And he would drive by like some, shack, the rump rundown shack on the side of the road and tell me, like, you know, some guy used to live there. And the rumor was that he would go into Miami and pick up prostitutes and come back. And then you'd never hear him. You'd never see these people again. And the guy kept wolves. And I'm like, wolves? He'd go, yeah, he had pet wolves. And like, you'd hear the wolves howling. And like, there's just all these stories like that. And you go, okay, this house back in there, and you could barely see it back in there. There's like a compound. He said he was CIA for many years. And, like, and so anyway, he told me all these stories. And then I went back and, you know, looked them up. They're all true. They're all these things that, you know, people who lived out there, because they just, some of them were drug dealers. Some of them were rum runners. Some of them this, some of that. And some of them just were weird people who wanted to get away. But they're out there, and they're still out there. Right now, they're out there. So anyway, I wanted to write a book that used some of that.
Are there any strange pets in Swamp Story? I don't want any spoilers, but...
Well, there's a fairly substantial snake. There's a boar. And then there's a creature that is not real, but the guys in the book want to make everybody believe it's real.
Yeah.
And they, because it's 2022 and they have access to TikTok, they are able to convince literally hundreds of millions of people that it is real. And that TikTok plays a large role in this.
I love that.
Yeah. So anyway.
So Swamp Story is coming out June of 2023. Looking forward to that. And
May of 2023.
Oh, wow. My gosh.
Okay. Well, although you could pre-order it right now on Amazon for early Thanksgiving. Hello. But yeah, it's going to be out in May.
Okay. Sweet. What can't you pre-order on Amazon? Anything at all?
I think you could certainly get your own casket or, you know, like a burial. Anything you want.
That's right. Yeah, beat the rush.
Fentanyl. Probably you can get fentanyl. I don't know. Somebody should just go... Just go on Amazon and type in Fenton. Don't do this, kids. If any young people, we're just kidding around, joking here on the Greg Cody podcast. Yeah. Drugs are bad, except when we did them in the 60s, but we were careful.
Yeah, they were better then and cheaper, I would imagine.
And harmless, utterly harmless. And look, we turned out. Look at Greg and me. Look how we turned out.
Yeah, we're still alive.
Barely a moment.
So the Skunk Ape Research Center. I feel like if you put the phrase research center at the end of almost anything, it legitimizes it.
Well, that's the funny thing. If you go out to see it, it's basically a shack on the side of the road that sells, like, you know, skunk ape koozies, skunk ape, you know.
Right.
It's not, I would not say there's a lot of research going on. I would say it's mostly t-shirt sales that's going on. But, you know, I love the guy. And I wrote in because they're, you know, like everybody else out there, they're basically, the government was trying to get rid of them so they can turn it all back into a swamp. Right. And my argument is, like, this guy is like, you know, the Native Americans are allowed to stay out there because they're viewed as indigenous. But I said, there ought to be a room for guys like this too, because there's something about the South Florida roadside huckster. You know, we don't want that to die out. We don't have to just be Disney. We want, you know, like the old school, really a shady roadside attraction, the people wrestling alligators. That's part of Florida history too.
Very much.
Anyway, that's the argument I made. Have you ever heard of Casadega?
No.
Of course not. You're a sports writer. You have no time.
Yeah. No time.
To think of things like... Now, Casadega is another place I visited in when I wrote Best State Ever. And it's this little town about an hour north of Orlando. It's sort of in the middle of the piney woods up there. And it is the psychic capital of Florida, if not the United States. Like, the main industry in this town is psychics and card readers and mystics. That's their industry. So, like, if you drive into Casadega, like, every other there's little cottages says psychic. You're like, if in the middle of the night in Casadega you needed plumbing repair, that might be difficult. But if you needed a tarot card reading at 2 o'clock in the morning, you could get it there. So anyway, it's just this weird little spooky. So I spent a couple of days there and nights there, and it's spooky. I stayed in this old creepy hotel that, of course, everybody says is haunted and everything.
Right.
And it really is genuinely a creepy town. It's in the middle of Florida, and it really attracts a lot of weird people, strangely enough, as Florida tends to do.
Wow. Right. So it's a tourist attraction. Like, it's a known place. Wow, Casadega.
So, yeah, and all the places I went to are tourist attractions. I went to Weeki Wachee and, you know, with the mermaids that eat apples underwater.
Yeah, I think I've been there.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was still around. I associate that with my childhood.
It is still around, and you can still see a mermaid eat an apple underwater, in case you wonder what mermaids eat. Apparently, apples.
I did not know that. That is crazy. I want to segue to before we get to the holiday gift guide, which I do want to get to.
Building up.
That's right. But when this podcast
it's
comes
the
out
holiday
on Monday,
season, Dave, we have to.
That's right. We got to cover this. Right. I forgot. Yeah. I have a Santa Claus head here too. Wait. Okay. When we get to that part, I'll put on my
Yeah, please.
When we did a video for the gift guide, I put on my Santa Claus costume.
Oh, good. You know what? When you do that, I'm going to go get my Santa Claus hat as well. Christopher, do you have a Santa hat?
This is like, if this doesn't get people to come, they're already people watching right now are calling their friends and say, they're going to put on Santa hats.
Yeah, so right.
Get on this right now.
Yeah. Well, before you came into the Zoom, Dave, Christopher and I were laughing like a couple of idiots because we had both turned ourselves upside down.
Daddy didn't do it. Should we do it then?
We have to do that right now.
How do you do that?
My dad doesn't know. Now I'm upside down. Look,
there you go. You go in video settings.
My dad is screwed up. Look at my dad. He's in video settings.
Yeah, you're not there at all, Greg.
You turned your video off. You turned your video off, Dad. Yeah, this is
nice
classic.
Job. Oh, I did? Okay.
Well, how do you do it? I need to know. Yeah. How do you do it? Wait, I want to be upside down too.
You click your arrow down where it says video at the bottom. There's an arrow up, video settings.
Okay.
And then in your screen, you top right, there's a little rotate thing of your screen where you see yourself. Click in the top right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Look at us. This is weird.
The blood is rushing to our
heads.
That's
what I feel. I know. My dad looks like he's hanging.
He does, Greg. I don't think Greg somehow. You know what? I don't think Greg actually turned his video upside down.
I didn't.
Greg actually turned upside down. Yeah, that's what I think happened.
I'm standing on my head right now.
You look like you're hanging.
You really do. Your hair is almost going.
I don't know why, this is some quality
podcasting or whatever this is.
All right, we can go back. I'm gonna get a headache if we don't go back.
I know. It's creepy.
That was so much fun. That
was the most fun I've ever had on a podcast.
Look amazing.
Dave, when this comes out on Monday, the World Cup will have just happened. So I'm going to say the World Cup was yesterday.
And what a game, huh? Between Argentina and France.
Yeah.
And what an outcome. I didn't see that coming. Did you?
Can you give us a minute? Didn't. Can you give us a minute on each result?
Yes. Okay.
No, I'm kidding.
In a real shocker, the World Cup went to Qatar. Even though the team didn't win anything, the bribe was just enough. Part of the deal. A lot of us didn't realize that. The deal that Qatar not only gets to host it, but they get to win it.
That's how
much money Qatar has. Nevertheless, we're sure that Argentina and France will be happy with their second place trophies.
Yes,
that's right. Exactly.
That's hilarious. You never know. That could happen, honestly.
FIFA. It's FIFA.
Dave, you were married to Michelle Kaufman, of course, who is, and I'm not just saying this, the preeminent soccer writer in this market for sure.
Does
a great job covering Inter Miami and other soccer. And I'm wondering, being married to her, are you allowed in a humorous vein to make fun of soccer? Because you just have to, right?
Well, actually, yeah, I have. I wrote a book once of essays, and one of them is totally. But basically, the point of my essay was that I love that sport. I really do. I know maybe you got. I love soccer. Michelle kind of got me into it. 1998, we went to the World Cup in France with my son Rob. And France won it. And I've never had so much fun at a sporting event in my life. Watching the French. When we got there, they were like, you know, the taxi driver from the airport, oh, you are here for the, we are not, we're the French, we do not care so much about the sport. We are not, you love the sport. We're the French. We're French. And then like they started to win and they started to win and then they win and they get into the quarters and then again, and every win, you know, we're staying in Paris, the crowds get bigger and bigger, and suddenly the French are like, allez le bleu! You know, where do you buy the paint for your face? And then when France actually won it, it was like, you know, you've seen those pictures of when the Allies liberated Paris. That's what it was like. Michelle was at the stadium and she didn't get back till like the next morning because it was traffic was. But wow. Rob and I, we were in the middle of Paris. We watched it at a restaurant, which was hilarious. The restaurant was like half French and half Brazilians. It was the France Brazil. Everybody in the world, including the French, thought Brazil was going to win because they always win.
Right.
And France won. Zinedine Zidane had this just amazing and. And what was so funny was, first of all, the Brazilians, they're really, I love the Brazilians. They were like devastated for like 15 minutes. And then like, we're Brazilian. We're going to have a party. We're in France. And they started partying too. But the French, Paris, just, I've never seen that many people in my life. And Rob and I were like just swept onto the Champs-Élysées and this giant crowd of people. And like, there are people coming up and hugging us and kissing us. We're Americans. Yeah. And I said, remember saying to Rob, I said, they're never going to do this again. Enjoy this moment because tomorrow they're going to go back to hating you for being American. But tonight, you know, anyway, what a party that was. Anyway, I got into soccer from that experience because I don't know, Greg, have you ever been around a World Cup? Like maybe when it was here in 90.
Yeah. I've been to the American, you know, the U.S. World Cup in 94, right? Yeah.
We're big soccer fans, by the way. We're both big soccer fans. Mess around sometimes, but like, yeah, we love the game.
Yeah, no, I like to make fun of soccer too. I put a thing on Twitter the other day. My tweet was a true sports fact. A professional soccer player can suffer as many as 6 career ending injuries in a single game. You know, but anyway, just the whole, it's so hard to explain to people who are, you know, not part of that world, how intense the fandom is for, and it's, there's no
Argentina specifically.
Oh my God, those people, you know, whether they may have won yesterday, we don't, but just the intensity of the passion around that sport is unlike anything in any other sport I've ever seen. And just fun. It's so much fun. So
it's great. I absolutely love soccer. Yeah. In fact, Christopher and I just went in on Inter Miami season tickets, which I think you guys have had, right? For a few years.
Yeah. I've been a season ticket holder from the beginning. I love those games.
We're hoping that Messi comes to see him play and to sell our tickets.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. For both of those things. Yes. Yeah. Both of those things would be good. But those are fun games.
Yeah, they are. They are really fun games.
And it's a great little, you know, I know that stadium is going to take 19 years to get built down in, near the airport in Miami. But meantime, you know, that's the sacred ground where the Fort Lauderdale Strikers played decades ago. And it's a special place.
And the Fusion played after that. It's like,
that's right.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, Ray Hudson's fusion.
And Ray Hudson still patrols the area.
Oh, I know.
And it's closer to my house, so I hope they takes a long time to build the one in Miami.
Yeah, that's where you and I part company because it's like forever from my house to get there. I'll be so happy when they move it down here.
Dave, we had you on. Pardon me.
He gets emotional. He gets emotional when we have
you. He does, and he's choking up, literally.
I literally am choking up because we had Dave on to talk about his holiday gift guide a year ago, and it was one of our most popular episodes. And
wow.
And we actually had some people saying, "Are you going to have him on again?" And we said, "No, hell no." But but we did. And when I read the gift guide, you had me from the beginning because I hadn't even realized that I hadn't even realized what the hell is frankincense and myrrh? I never thought that question, but you answered it for me.
Well, I was desperate. Greg, you're a columnist, so you know this feeling better than anybody would. Like, you've written sort of the same thing a million times, so you need yet another way to get into it.
Yes. Tell me about it.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, I know you can totally relate to that.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Like, here's another Tua column I got.
Yes.
Anyway.
The Dolphins underachieved again. Tell us about it.
They disappointed us. Yeah, my joke, and it may come true this year, so the Dolphins could start out the season 10-0 and still finished 8-8. But anyway, so I was looking like, and I'm thinking like, okay, what am I going to write? I'll write about, okay, gifts. Okay, Christmas, we give gifts because, all right, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then exactly the same thing you just said. Like, what are frankincense and myrrh? So I look them up on Wikipedia, which is where, of course, we professional journalists get all our information.
Right.
And sure enough, they both like were, you know, the first one I thought, oh, it's resin from a tree. I don't know what I can do with that. Is it, they're both resins from a tree? They're both sap. And you're like, right. Why in God's name would you give that to anybody, let alone somebody who just had a baby. You know,
right, right, right.
Anyway, then I had to dream up a scenario why the three wise men and the answer.
I just hope I don't know what you guys are talking about. By the way,
oh, okay, we're talking about the beginning of the holiday gift guide.
Yes,
and I'm trying to explain.
I know your gift guide. I don't know what the Franz and Merck.
Chris, if you just shut up, I'll answer your question. So it's the beginning of the gift guide. Chris, you want to interrupt again?
Nope. Sorry.
Nope. Okay.
I thought you didn't know I was. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. And so the can you lay? Is there a way to mute him, Greg? Or yeah. You're in the
anyway. Yeah, I could do that. Yeah.
So the three wise men, like they're standing there, and the first one says, "Okay, well, I'm bringing the baby gold," and the other two go, "Wow, we were supposed to bring a gift." And like, and they says, "Oh no, that was my wife's idea." And the other two, they got nothing, and they realize they're leaning up against a tree, and there's some goo on their robes. And they go, "Are you thinking what I'm thinking? You're not gonna, that looks like squirrel shit. You're going to give that to the baby Jesus, you know?" Anyway. That was the intro to the holiday gift guide this year. The point being that the holiday gift we give, the Christmas gift, the holiday Hanukkah gift we give, it's not about money. It's about desperation.
Like, yes.
We need to think of something to give people. And when you're truly desperate, you turn to my holiday gift guide because only a really desperate person would think to give these gifts to anybody. All right, Chris, did I explain that to you? Okay.
You got it. Crystal
clear.
Or do
I need to go over to, what is he, Millennial, Gen Z? What are these? I know they're not too good at comprehension. It was probably too many words for him. Yeah. Do I need to put it on TikTok for you?
An Instagram reel.
Well, welcome to my world, Dave, because Christopher's is a professional interrupter. That's what he does on the podcast.
Oh, okay.
And he's excellent at it. Yeah, anybody who wants to read this gift guide, just Google Dave Barry Holiday Gift Guide, and it comes right up. And you have 10 gifts. I put a check mark next to the five that I just absolutely loved in particular.
Okay.
And of course, the Willie Nelson Chia Pet.
You got it. Yeah.
You have to have it, right? You have to have it.
I'm just guessing that at some point in his career, his business manager said, "Willie, we still haven't paid off all the taxes we owe the federal government. Would you consider..." Like, we know you're a musical icon, a god, and like, you know, dignified human being. Would you consider a Chia Pet? You know, and sure enough, and obviously Willie said yes, or else he was so stoned he didn't even understand the question. But yes,
that could be, yeah, very likely.
There is a Willie Nelson Chia Pet, and it's every bit as tasteful and classy as you might expect.
Another one I loved, and the headline on this segment was two words. And I had no idea based on the what? Yoga Joes.
Yeah.
And then I scroll down to the photo and it's green, small green G.I. Joe type figurines like we all collected as kids back in the 60s or whatever, except they're in yoga positions.
Yeah.
It's the most insane.
Who thought of that? Who thought of that? Because it's...
Are they armed?
They are not armed. They're fully... They're helmets, backpacks, okay, and everything, but no weapons. Okay. They're doing the downward dog, you know, they're doing yoga poses because this commemorates all the times, and there have been many in this, the history of this great country, when our fighting men and women have been able to win a battle by relaxing in yoga poses.
That's right.
Anyway, so anyway, yeah, that was one of my, that might be my favorite single one. The Yoga Joes.
Yeah, I particularly enjoyed that for some reason. And I also like the baby mop onesie, which, until I saw the photo, I'm like, what is a baby mop onesie?
This is now like, a onesie outfit that you put on your baby. But
it cleans the floor. I love it.
It cleans the floor. It's like they put mop stuff on it. Baby crawls around. Your floor is clean. Your baby has fun. What's wrong? What's to complain about other than that there's filth all over your baby? But
I love that.
Yeah.
There is anyway.
But the baby is realistic. It's like a doll baby. It's like something my grandchild would play with.
Okay. Just to clarify, that is a doll.
Okay. Are you sure? Because it looks so real, Dave.
Carl Juice, the photographer who did that, I apparently could not get anybody to give him a real baby to use for this.
But no, that would have been good.
And I think this speaks well for the parents of South Florida that nobody would give Carl a baby to put that thing on.
Right.
So he had to use a life-size baby doll for that photo shoot. And I find it fascinating that you thought it was a real baby because it tells me that you cannot see very well, or
no,
it's been a long time since you've seen a real baby because it's clearly a doll.
Wear those Scorsese glasses when you
need put your glasses back on.
I should right now. Now I see.
There
now
you
I
go.
See that it's just a doll. Okay, there. Now, a now doll. We get it. We got to figure it. Dave, you've been doing these gift guides for like 20 years, I think.
Yep.
Almost annual. Almost annual.
That's 200 you gifts a year. By my math.
Yep. Yeah, something like that. And
just flexing. Just flexing the old
good
math.
Good job.
There you go.
Good job.
Are they all suggested by readers, or do you ever come up with them? Like you notice something in a Walmart, or what's the methodology?
Every now and then I come up with one, but I get literally, I don't know, hundreds of suggestions every year. What's funny to me is I also get a lot of suggestions from people who have real products that they really want to sell.
Oh, I can imagine.
They say, well, we see you're doing a holiday gift guide, Dave. And we're like, I want to write back and say, only really stupid ass products that we hate would ever get into this gift guide. You know, you really don't want your product, but I think they don't care. I think they do really want them in.
Well, most of these things, it's as if they're made up. Like,
I know.
That's the beauty of it. I mean,
some of them are trying to be funny, but some of them aren't. Some of them are like,
was it a dissolvable bathing suit or something? What's going on here?
That was a prank. Okay. And I actually had to, Carl Juice, the photographer who does it, always talks people into wearing these things. Somehow he talked me into being the model for the dissolvable bathing suit. Mm. And it's not actually that the bathing suit itself dissolves. It's the thread that holds the bathing suit together that dissolves. But Carl talked me and he kept saying, we want you to get in the pool. And then I said, I'm not going to do that. And he goes, yeah, I'm not going to show your face. We're just going to blow it. Because he lied to me. He lied. And I got in the pool and the bathing suit was falling apart. And there were women there, help. And wisely, I had put a pair of underpants on under the dissolving bathing. They said, but it's still pretty embarrassing. And of course, when he ran it with my face showing.
Oh, yes. And I noticed.
So, yeah.
You saw that one, Dad. You noticed it was Dave.
I noticed all of them. The photos are part of what makes this whole presentation.
But just for the record, if anybody wants to buy, if you were looking for a prank that actually would work, the dissolving bathing suit, and it looks kind of like a normal, okay, bathing suit. The best way to use it, though, would be at a beach or someplace like that where there's no easy way to run into a building and escape once you come out of the water, because this thing will fall completely apart and there you will be.
That's terrible. What a terrible thing to do to somebody.
I know. That's why I'm advocating it on your podcast here.
Yeah, it's terrible and funny at the same time.
As long as it's not you personally. Yeah.
That's true. Exactly. You're right. Do it.
Now, the one that I just could not understand is the full face sunglasses. I'm trying to picture walking down the street.
That is the weirdest one of all. Yeah. And it's this giant mask that's like sunglasses with, things that go over your ears.
Yeah.
But it covers the entire face and it is startlingly uncomfortable. You're like running right over when you're breathing.
Right.
And it covers your face. And I cannot understand why anybody would ever want this thing, but it apparently is a serious product sold in the nation of Japan, which is where we got it from. Far be it from me in these politically correct times to ever say that any nation is weird, but Japan is weird. And that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Very good. Yeah.
Spectacularly unattractive.
And it's really weird. Apparently, it's to keep harmful rays off of your face, but then just stay inside. Why do you want to be outside if you're wearing that thing?
Part of your forehead is exposed, too. Oh, yeah. So it's like...
Just put a bag over your head with two eye holes and call it a day.
Yeah.
Am I right? That's the way to do it.
And I just want to say to the Japanese viewers, and I know there are millions of them.
A lot of them. Yeah.
When we say a country is weird here in the United States of America, that's our way of saying we love you.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, for sure. We do. What was your favorite one, Dave? This year, or all time, or?
Oh, God, it's hard to say. Well, this year, there were a couple I really liked. There was the umbrella for your iPhone.
For the phone, right?
Stick-on umbrella that you put on so your phone does not get wet in the rain.
Right.
And there was a pop-up tent that I really kind of like. You can just instantly form a tent and stand inside it anywhere you go. Over the years, one of the ones that got the most attention was I did one. I don't know if I told you about this one last year or not, but maybe anyway, you're going to hear it again. They were called duck butts. And this was one of the example of a very serious product. You know what decoys are, duck decoys, the hunters, they look like ducks out there and the hunter people there's nobody more serious in the world than hunters about all their gear and equipment. Somebody said, realized that, when you show all the, your decoys in the water, it's unrealistic because real ducks, when they're in the water, periodically duck down and eat something, a fish or mm-hmm. whatever. And then only their butts are sticking up. And the theory behind the duck butts is that if a, you know, ducks are flying, real ducks are flying overhead, and they look down and they see the decoys, they'll notice that there's none of them diving down, and they'll conclude that these are not real. I don't know, that was apparently the thinking. But the result was somebody manufactured and sold as a serious item duck butts, which is the butt of a duck that you wow. put in the water. Okay, is he finding it? Let's see.
Is this it?
There you go, duck butts. Okay.
So ridiculous.
So anyway, so I featured the duck butts big time in the gift guide. And I said, you know, you can use them in all kinds of ways, including a festive decoration for a punch bowl. And the photographer, I don't remember who it was at the time, got a punch bowl, filled it with punch, and had the duck butts in it. Well, it went crazy. People wanted duck butts to put in their punch bowls. And
of course.
It was so popular that the manufacturer of the company, they called me up and said, we're getting all these orders for duck butts. And we had to restart the factory, the production line on the factory, to meet all the demand for duck butts. But they said, but we're really concerned that people put them in their punch bowls. The alcohol in the punch bowl could dissolve the paint, and it could be toxic, and people could be killed. And I said, wow. anybody who drinks punch from a bowl with duck butts in it deserves to die. Is my feeling. But the point is, it had a big impact on the market. And that happens every year. Certain products that we feature in the gift guide, because you can just go straight to Amazon and buy almost all of them, to right. sell really well. So it's gotten to the point where now people want to have their, you know, any kind of product. So I get a lot of professional requests to be included. But almost all the items that I end up choosing were submitted just by readers who just thought they were funny.
Now right? I'm picturing the company like, bringing in people to test, like, all right, we're gonna make some punch, we're gonna put a duck butt in it.
Yeah, how did they know
who's drinking it? We need someone to drink it. Carl, get over here.
Yeah, Carl will drink anything. They always use Carl.
That's Carl.
Years later, when Carl started suddenly having brain issues, there was a lawsuit. You can imagine. Yeah, Carl drank the duck butt punch.
I loved Carl.
Yeah.
We loved Carl. He was
he was a good guy. He used to be a lot sharper.
He was always a team player. He was always a team player, Carl.
He took one for the team there.
He really did. Dave, I think we need to let you go here. We've kept you much longer than we meant to. We appreciate your time.
But I think we've accomplished a lot. I think we've helped a lot of people.
Yeah. Yes, we have.
And I think we've cleared up a lot of issues.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we covered that World Cup game.
Because isn't that why we do this? To help people.
And we did. We analyzed the World Cup match from yesterday.
Yeah, and that was some match. And I think our analysis probably helped people understand a little better what happened between those teams there.
Yeah.
I appreciate allowing people to see the other side of Dave Bear, because most people recall that you won the 1988 Pulitzer Prize for nuclear physics.
That's
right. They really don't get a chance to see this side of it.
That sometimes I lighten up a little bit and have fun. I've had a little fun with it.
Exactly. Dave, thank you. Officially, unofficially, personally, professionally, it's always good catching up with you.
My pleasure. This has really been the highlight of my life. And I'll tell you, if for no other reason than I learned how to do, where is it?
Oh, we're going upside down?
Yeah, we're going upside down.
Yeah,
again.
Hell yes.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Greg
Cody loses the race. Greg Cody's hanging upside down again. Thank you, Dave. To Carl.
Yes. All right.
Oh, we love you guys.
Happy holidays. All right.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah and all that stuff, you guys. Take care.
Happy frankincense and myrrh. We'll see you later.
Okay. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Dave Barry. Good friend. Good friend of the pod. Good friend of the show, FOS.
How many people have been on more than once?
You know, we're going to have to...
Izzy Gutierrez has...
Yeah, we're going to have to check the stats on that.
Dave Barry has...
Yeah, I feel like...
Amin has been on a few times.
Yeah, Tim Kirchin.
Amina a couple times.
A bunch of people, actually, at this moment. Yeah. We're not a new... Or when are you no longer a new pod? Well, I ran out of breath there. When are you no longer a new pod?
You know what? We're going to celebrate our third anniversary. We're going to be a three-year-old pod in this coming March, right around the corner. So we're turning three. We're a toddler. We're screaming, we're running around the house, toddling. We're 3 years old this March. What do you want to talk about first? I got a lot of thoughts on the Dolphins and the World Cup.
Yeah, let's start with Dolphins because I feel like World Cup needs to bat cleanup. It was such an event. The Dolphins, though, they lose at Buffalo. They, you know, I wish I could feel good about this. I know the Dolphins felt, you know, they were saying we played a great game, accentuating the positive. Look, you had the game in your hand. You were winning by 8 points in the fourth quarter, and you let it slip. I'm sorry. I can't feel real great about
it. It's one of those games, a handful of plays. It goes a different way. The Dolphins win that game.
Fine.
You proved to yourself that you can go on the road and play in the cold. And that is a huge vote of confidence for the fans, for the players, for the, like, I totally agree with the team's mindset of, like, there aren't any moral victories. This was a moral victory for the Dolphins.
Okay.
The Jets lost. They're still good in the playoff picture. They control their own destiny. They play do. The Jets, the Patriots, the struggling Packers at home next week. I think 2-1 finish gets you in the playoffs, and I'm feeling good about the Dolphins.
Yeah, Terron Armstead, the great tackle for the team, was saying afterward that nothing has changed. The playoffs are still in our control, quote unquote. But if you want to have control, you have to exercise that control. And when in December you go on an ill-timed three-game losing streak, you're not showing much control.
Right.
You're showing that the league is sort of controlling you. You're inviting the question, how good are you? I think the Dolphins end the season with three huge games in a row. Green Bay on Christmas Day, at New England on New Year's Day, and then home against the New York Jets, which could determine whether or not they make the playoffs. I mean, the last three games, it's an exciting finish. It's been that kind of season. I'll say that about the Dolphins. They're good enough to have an exciting end to the year.
Yes, they are.
Okay. How about that World Cup?
I'm Greg Cody. I cannot believe that World Cup. We watched it. It's Sunday evening right now, and we watched that earlier. Good Lord, was that a great game. Just so exciting. Right. And the best part about it was, like, a couple minutes into the second half, my dad saying, when it's 2-0 Argentina, Greg Cody, this game has not been so good.
You know what?
From that moment on, it turned into an all-time classic.
I think what you're trying to do, and thank you, is give me credit for saving the World Cup. Because here's what happened. No, I'm not taking undue credit. It's 2-0 Argentina with, like, in the 70 something minute, like, it's late. And I'm like, this is going to go down as one of the most boring World Cup finals ever. Because not only was it 2-0, but France, this great offense, had done nothing. Oh. Mbappe was as close to invisible as he ever gets.
He was a Nate.
That's right. And then after I say that,
they scored two goals in 90 seconds.
In 90 seconds. Yeah. And then from then, it got better.
Oh, the chances late in the game.
Oh, my gosh.
The referee, the jacked buff referee.
Yes.
Just taking control of the game. And
He was. And he had that thing where he goes like this, like, be quiet. I don't want to hear anything. Zip your lip. Be quiet. And everybody obeyed.
It was, with all that on the line for an all-time great, how often in a sporting event does a player of that stature have so much on the line for his legacy in a one-game sample size? Oh. It's not like it's a seven-game series in an NBA Finals. It's like, here's one game to define your legacy. Right now, you're one of the all-time greats. This one game can make you the all-time great.
Yeah.
And he scores, and he does it, and he handles these PK. I know you could kind of say, like, PKs are, you know, whatever, but he knocked both those in, and he started one of the most beautiful goals of the whole World Cup.
Oh my God.
He was the first guy to get that run going.
So. It was gorgeous. In the words of another multiple appearance Greg Cody show guest, the great Ray Hudson, what we saw was magisterial. It was Mbappe scoring a hat trick and losing because Messi and Argentina were even better. It was just an epic World Cup final.
So good.
Yeah. I saw Bill Simmons said that, like, it's, you know, you get got, you know, some of the greatest who can put out their career games, but rarely do you get the biggest stage and the top two people in the sport putting out career games, like, all at the same time. Oh. Like, that's pretty special.
Yeah. Like, this is one that, like, 15 years from now, it's like, remember that. I'll never forget this World Cup final.
Entirely. I mean, because the contrast of Messi in his later years, but still great, and Mbappe, 23 years old. I mean, he's just getting started on the world stage. The two of them clashing in such an epic finale was
Messi getting carried off. I just interrupted you. Messi getting carried off, like literally holding the trophy up on the shoulder of like, oh, then the crowd just going nuts. Just
it was a great finale.
The emotion of Andres Cantor when he was giving that final goal call as well. You know, if we want to put a, you know, if we want to button this World Cup topic up the way we started it several weeks ago, talking about Mr. Cantor. Yes. And his goal call, you could just hear him getting choked up in the middle of it all and how he just, he didn't even have extra words to throw in. He just kept saying Argentina, you know, champions of the world, or, you know, World Cup champions, champions of the world, like over and over and over and over. And like, he, like, that's pretty special, you know, for him to be, you know, one of the most legendary voices in goal calls, getting to call that for his home team right here, kind of at the end of, you know, their premier guys run. And it was
The weight on Messi's shoulders that has just been lifted. Heck, I can just only imagine what he's doing right now. Like just the, he must have just like go back to his hotel room, lay down the bed, and just go like this.
what he's doing right now probably can't be discussed or televised.
Wow,
a little bit in the celebratory region, but
Jesus,
you just turned him into Maradona. I mean,
you know what? I sort of disagree with the idea that Messi needed this for his legacy.
He just needed it to, like, before it was a debate, are you a Maradona guy? Is this, like, I think people are saying now it's, no, the debate is over.
I would liken that to, you know, did Aaron Rodgers need that one Super Bowl to cement his legacy? And maybe the answer is yes. I'm not saying I know the answer, but.
Hey, buddy. Yeah, that's good for you, Lionel Messi and everything, but come on, do it in the MLS.
Yes. Okay. That's another thing. All right. Could we be like, well, right off into the sunset to the MLS? Come on.
Okay.
We have beautiful sunset here. Sunsets here.
All right. Yeah, we do. And we don't have the caliber of play that you would get elsewhere. Are you ready to retire into MLS yet? I didn't see a player who was.
No, man, he looked good. I did not.
Messi is still on top of his game.
Man, is he going to walk around the field a lot, though, if he comes here.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I'm imagining that. He'll have, like, it's the way I mock Dan sometimes. I imagine Dan's walked around. What's the thing, the carpet thing, the platform where you have four people walk holding it and it's like a platform?
Yeah, the Egyptian thing.
I imagine that is how Messi will move around the field when he's not in action.
It will be in his contract. I will never be on the opposite side of midfield on the defensive end. I just will not venture there. You play defense without me. I will score goals.
Should we end this episode? Before we end this episode, let's preview next week's episode. We have a doozy. The holiday season is here, folks. And the Greg Cody Show has got you covered. Will you get the Dan Le Batard Show on Monday, December 26th? No, you won't. But you know what you will get? The Greg Cody Show.
Damn right. We have a holiday extravaganza.
Oh, so many bells and whistles do we have for you.
Oh, my God. We really do. It's a holiday episode. It's a holiday especial. And we have Greg's 12 Rules of Christmas.
Wow.
And as if that weren't enough, we have a super secret special. We're going to unwrap the gift. We have a super secret special guest who we're not even going to talk about.
From the Le Batard Show universe.
You never know.
But until then, everyone have a great Christmas, happy Hanukkah, everything that's going on this week from the time this episode launches until the next one.
Yeah. Launching it.
Dad, on the way out here, give me a little Cantor meets Santa on the way out here.
Oh, that's easy. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Ho, ho, ho!
I really wanted to tickle you while you were doing that.
I know you did, but I'm glad you didn't. Thank you so much.
I'm growing.
Yeah, well, that sounds like a personal matter.
I thought you were going to make another fat joke.
Yeah.